Stephen? Are you ready, Neil? Okay. Good evening, everybody. We're going to go ahead and let Neil come up and give our scripture reading this morning before I go through the announcements. This afternoon. What time of day is it?
Depends on when you woke up.
That's how bad of a day it's been. All right. Okay.
There you go.
First John 4:7-8. Beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Amen. It's good to see everybody tonight. I'm glad you were able to come out. One of the beauties of coming and getting together, as we've been talking about, is that ability to hang out together, to be able to talk to each other, to be able to see how we're doing. And I know there's a number of people that aren't able to be with us. And unfortunately, they're missing out, because it's great to be able to sit here and talk with each other. We do welcome you to this evening's service. It is a devotional service. It's our fifth Sunday service. So tonight we'll be singing and prayer and an invitation led by our brother Aaron. Before we get started tonight, let me go through a few announcements that we made this morning. So Glenda is in ICU right now. And just to recap, she was found this morning on the ground. And so they took her by ambulance up to the hospital. From what Karen Brimseth has told me is that she was not verbally responsive, but she did have pupil response. And so they were going to go through a scan of the brain to see if there was anything that they needed to be concerned about. We have not heard anything up to this point, but we definitely want to remember her in our prayers this evening. Of course, we also mentioned Melba Tyler and her passing, and keeping the family in our prayers. Rocky and Shirley's son-in-law, Janice's husband, Nellie, Jody Dickey, Mike and Sally, Wayne and Bobby, Rosie Ramirez tested positive for COVID. Again, keep her in our prayers. Brother Banks is with us tonight, and he says he's doing much better. So praise God, we're glad to hear that that is going well and that you're with us tonight. So thank you for that. All right, so we have a slate of things that are on schedule tonight. Brother Charles will be starting us off. And before he gets started, I will be opening us up with a prayer. The men will be conducting all of the singing and the reading of the scriptures tonight. Like I said, Brother Aaron will be doing our invitation, and then Brother Trayvon will be leading us in our closing prayer at the end of services tonight. Let us go ahead and go to our Father in prayer. Almighty God, Lord of the host and of the armies, we understand, Father, that you are the maker of all things, the creator of all things. We understand, Father, that there is no one greater than you. There is no one that can come close to who you are other than your Son and the Spirit, which reside in one with you. Father, we are thankful that we have an opportunity to be here tonight. We are mindful that not everyone who is a member of this local body is able to be here. But we are thankful that through technology we have the opportunity to be together with them through our live stream, through the technology that you have allowed man to create, given him the knowledge and the wisdom to understand how the inner workings of science and the things that you have laid forth all those many years ago are now coming to fruition in what we're able to do today. Father, we are mindful of Glenda, and we are thoughtful as the hands that minister to her are there, and she is in capable hands. And Father, we know that it is your will and your desire, whether she stays with us a little longer or passes into eternity. But Father, we are also gracious to know that you are faithful to serve us in the capacity of giving yourself, giving your Son, that you have required of us the humility and the grace and the mercy of knowing that we are not to live for ourselves, that we are not here for ourselves, but we are to be in a constant state of awareness of who you are by praying to you, by singing to you, by being devoted to you, but also by being devoted to those who are enlightened and part of the kingdom. Father, we ask that you be with us as we go on through our service tonight, that what you hear from us, what you see from us, is in accordance to the will that you have for your people and the way you desire to be worshiped. And help us, Father, understand that it is not our worship and how we desire it, but it is what you have required of us. We are thankful, Father, that we have the capability to come together as free people, to be able to reside in a state of cohesiveness together. And Father, we are mindful of the frailties of life. We are mindful of the things that hold us back at times. But I, for one, Father, will say that I look forward to these days where we can come together and worship in accordance. And it is a wonderful and joyous time for us to know that we can praise your name and that we can lift you up in song and prayer and in hymnals. Father, as we continue our service tonight, help us to be open-hearted. Help us to have right minds and right attitude towards the things that we are hearing, not to be complacent in what we hear, but, Father, to take those things in, to put them as part of our hearts and our minds, and ultimately to help it exude from our lips as we teach others that we come into contact with. Go with us, Father, as we start our service tonight, and we ask this prayer through your Son, through his mediation, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's good to be back. It's good to be with you. And it's good for us to get together and be able to sing and worship and praise our God. And tonight, obviously, we have a devotional. So thankful to Mike Kent. I reached out to Mike Kent and said, Mike, really would like to see if you'd be interested in putting together the devotional for us, because Mike, you know, is one of our very good song leaders. And I'm sure he's feeling like he's missing out and not being here. But I know, Mike, you're probably watching, listening, and I just want to say thank you so much for putting the devotional together for us. We're going to enjoy doing that and hope you enjoy it from your home as well. So tonight, the devotional is on faith, hope, and love. I thought there was a previous...
No, that's the first slide.
That's the first slide. Okay, so anyways, and the idea comes from the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And a little added commentary to get us started with this tonight. Here in this passage is yet another infamous verse of Scripture, often quoted, printed, and sung about in our modern world. With this phrase, Paul wraps up this section of 1 Corinthians 13 by explaining why godly, self-sacrificing love is required to fully express spiritual gifts. He concludes by mentioning love again with two other virtues often listed with it, faith and hope. Together, these three virtues abide or remain. Perhaps Paul means that, as is the case with love, faith and hope will continue into eternity after the need for spiritual gifts has long since passed. Faith is essential to Christianity. Only by faith in Christ is it possible to come into a relationship with God at all. In a similar way, hope is the Christian conviction that God will keep his promises about the future. Without faith and hope, Christianity does not make any sense. They're built in. Still, Paul insists that love is greater even than these two bedrock virtues. It will abide, in a sense, even after our faith has become sight and our hope in eternity has been realized. Paul's bottom line in this chapter is that, of course, faith and hope are far more important than spiritual gifts, and love is greater than even faith and hope. Spiritual gifts are essential for the church to grow, but the Corinthians had put too much emphasis on them as evidence of personal glory or achievement. The gifts must be applied with love, or they become meaningless or even destructive. We're going to sing. We're going to do another scripture here, and then we're going to have some songs. The first one is about faith. The famous chapter in Hebrews 11:6 about faith says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." I've kind of gotten used to not having that, the clicker, you know. I was like, all right, so our first song tonight will be "Each Step I Take," 4:15. Let's see. B flat. B flat. What a soul. Each step I take, my Savior. Aaron's got the next couple. Okay.
I trust you. I trust you. Until I get to the invitation, huh? It's just trust. It's what trust looks like. Thank you, James. Shall we sing? I'm out of practice. I used to do this professionally. Man, I'm getting old. Okay. Faith is the victory. Yeah, I checked in the background for water. Shall we sing? We're riding a horse, da-da-da-da-da-da. We've got our sword, we're going to take somebody's head off, okay? So we're marching, da-da-da-da-da-da, okay? Ready? His banner...
Call an audible. Will you pray with me? Jehovah God, Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this day. We're grateful that we can unify our voices and our souls, that we might send up our praise as a sweet savor to you. Father, we're grateful for your promises throughout times eternal. For those promises, give us hope, Father. We're also eternally grateful, Father, for the fulfillment of so many of those promises that can bring us trust in you. We ask you continue to be with us as we read your word and we see the promises fulfilled and have an ever-growing trust that one day that final promise will be fulfilled. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Titus 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the kindness of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Number 608, he gave me a song. A brighter way grows every day. Redeemed.
When the song leader's leading the song, can you guys hear? Because I know we're muting it back there. So Karen, maybe what we need to do is go ahead and open up number one and go ahead and turn it down just a little bit. Okay. Sorry about that. On the live stream, all they hear is the song leader, so we're trying to adjust so that they can hear you as well. Number 538. Shall we sing? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand for the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Number 539. Number 69, God holds the future in his hands, and that is not me.
Our names are very similar.
That's right. Both are on the J. Charles and I kept going back and forth who was going to sing it.
Yeah, it also doesn't help that I haven't been here much, but I'm living out in Kerman now, so it's kind of traveling back and forth, and my schedule's been shifting around, so I'm trying to get something set in place, but I'm glad to be here tonight, so... God holds the future. Doso, dread not the things that are ahead, the burdens great, the sinking sands, the thorns that o'er the path are spread. God holds the future in his hands. God holds the future in his hands. And every heart he understands. On him depend. He is your friend. He holds the future. Hands. We know not what tomorrow hides, of sun or storm, of good or ill. We only know his dear hand guides, and he will be our Father still. His hands, and every heart he understands. On him depend, he is your friend. He holds the future in his hands. His hand created earth and sky, the zephyrs and the storms that rage, and years to come and years gone by, to him are but an open page. God holds the future in his hand. And every heart he understands. On him depend, he is your friend. He holds the future in his hands. Live close to him and trust his love. Assured that while on earth we roam, whatever may come, he bends above to guide his children safely home. God holds a future in his hands, and he understands. On him depend, he is your friend. He holds a future in his hands.
Love. Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Faithful love.
Let's see.
Let us sing.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never be the same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name. Faithful love is a friend just when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never be the same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name.
3 to 6, he loves me. That one gets up there, doesn't it? A little bit, huh? I heard pitch it down a little bit. Oops, I'll go down a little bit more. Let's sing.
Why did the Savior heaven leave and come to earth below, where men his grace would not receive, because he loves me so? I know he gave himself to die for me because he loves me so. Why did the Savior mark the way, and why temptation know? Why teach and toil and bleed and pray? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so. Why feel the garden's dreadful dross, and through his trials go? Why suffer death upon the cross? Because he loves me so. He loves me.
He loves me. He loves me. This I know. He gave himself to die for me because he loves me so.
Next song is you, me.
After the song, Aaron will be leading our invitation tonight, and then the invitation song will be number 679, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And the reason I tell you is because we have to switch PowerPoints for his PowerPoint, so it might take a second for me to get it back up and running. All right, 133, "The Love of God." Hard thing about singing for 45 minutes is your voice really starts to go. Yeah. All right, shall we sing? The love of God is greater. Okay, let's try this again. This is not the same song that I thought it was. My apologies. All right, I don't think I remember the words to this. Jason, do you want to do this one? Okay. I looked it up, and I looked up the wrong song, so... Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one I thought. So, sorry about
that. No, you're fine. Okay. Do mi so do. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win his erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels song. When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we withink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the law of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Okay, can anybody hear me? Am I on? Nope. I am on. I got a green light and everything. All right. So, you're going to get what you get tonight. Let's just put it that way. I was given the opportunity to bring this invitation as I was leaving the church building this morning. And so, this is what 4 hours of studies looks like. So, here we go. How's your faith hope? Always like those interesting titles. Go, what are you talking about? Hebrews 11:1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So faith is the now. Everybody following that? Faith is the confidence in what we hope for. So the faith is the now, the hope is the future. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hopes on grace to be brought to you when Jesus comes. Hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. All of these examples are to have you understand that this hope is in the towards the future. For in this hope we are saved, but the hope is seen is no hope at all, for who hopes for what they already have? So this hope is something you don't have yet. It is the future. So faith is the now, and hope is the future. So how's your faith hope? So tonight we're going to pretty much be centering around this scripture right here, 1 Thessalonians 1:3. And if you do have your Bible, we're going to go back to this a lot. So you might want to look this up and not just depend on this here, because you might, tell you the truth, you need probably one of these and one of these, and definitely need one of these to follow tonight. I'm going to cheat a little bit for you by having the verses, but I want you to also take this with you and meditate on it, because I can't do that part for you. You need to meditate on God's word after we're done. So let's get into the lesson. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope. So I want you to get your paper out. And you're going to draw a circle right in the middle of it. You're going to label that work. And to the left of that, we're going to talk about faith. Where does faith come from? Well, that one's pretty easy, right? It gets said a lot. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have a chain of events that's happening. First, we start with the word of God. And then you hear. And then you have faith. Going back to Thessalonians, that points to work. Work in the center, faith here, hearing prompts your faith to do work. So how does hope play into this? But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So hope gives us the endurance to do the work. Everybody following me so far? Let's go on. May the God of hope, so where does hope come from? Hope comes from God, will fill you with joy and peace as you trust him, so that you, this will come up later, may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the hope comes from the word of God, or God, and then is endured by the word of God to work. So you have the word of God through faith to work, hope through endurance to work. So the next one, fairly simple, the love part, we'll come back to. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge and truth that leads to godliness in the hope of eternal life. So this identifies what the hope is. So where does it come from? What it is? Hope of eternal life. So let's get back to this. Your labor prompted by love. So give me an example of love. Because what love are we talking about? We're talking about the love that the Christians were doing by example. Where does the example come from? The entire Bible is an example of God's love. So let's go ahead and get started because we got till midnight. Genesis 1:1. This is an entire example of the love that God has for his people and for you, the individual. So we're going to save that sermon for another time. So what prompted the work? Your labor prompted by love. Love prompted the labor. Goes either way. So circle in the middle of the paper has work. On the left, you have faith. Word of God through faith to work. Word of God in the lower part, by hope through endurance, we have work. Now God, through our love example, gives pointing back to what? Work. All comes back to work. Not that we're trying to earn our salvation. It's just that it becomes who we are. We're hopeful people. We love to work. Why and what makes it? What increases our faith, hope, and love? Because faith, hope, and love is not a stagnant thing. You don't just get faith. You just don't get hope. And you don't have just get faith. Hey, faith, hope, and love. You just don't get it. It increases inside you. It's not stagnant. So how do we increase the volume or the capacity of faith, hope, and love? Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near to the true heart in the full assurance of faith. Wait a minute. What kind of faith do you have? Because that faith has grown to full assurance. It is knowing. The faith and hope and understanding of God's love becomes a know, not I think. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of Son of God. Because, see, that's a key point. This increasing of faith, hope, and love is not to the people who don't believe. This is written to the ones who do believe, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may think you have eternal life, that I hope I have eternal life, that maybe I'm really hoping to squeak in there, God. No, it's that you may know that you have eternal life. The volume has come up. The increased amount of faith or hope has increased over time to what you know you have eternal life. It's not stagnant. But in order to increase your belief, you have to have this understanding. Because we're all, what's the circle that comes around of everything we talked about? It's the Word of God. You have to have a desire to understand. As newborn babies desire the pure milk of every word that you may grow thereby. So even your understanding and your belief is not a stagnant thing either. You grow from the pure milk of the word, according to 1 Peter 2:2. Belief, love, and the word must increase.
Mark 9:24, man cries out after Jesus heals his son and says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." So where is his belief at? I know I like to do math stuff, so scale of 1 to 10, right? Where was this man's belief? Well, it wasn't at a 10, because as Gil was talking about today, the man was shouting at Jesus as he was passing by. Where's his belief level? Well, as far as his volume of voice was concerned, it's up there. But this man cries out, "I believe, help my unbelief." So even though he believed, he still recognized that it was not, his capacity of belief was not adequate. John 21:15-17, James, one of James's favorite scriptures, he quotes it a lot. Jesus starts out, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, I love you." "Fine, feed my lambs." The next part was, do we remember? "Take care of my sheep." More capacity comes, "Feed my sheep." This understanding is an increasing commitment, an increasing level. John 13:24, I always found this fascinating that Christ went to his apostles and says, "A new commandment I give to you, to love one another." I think I've read that commandment about 100 times before I got to that verse. So what is Jesus talking about? The apostles were not filling their amount, their volume, their capacity to love one another, let alone loving the world. So Jesus requires them to come to a new and more understanding of their capacity to love other people and one another. Acts 6 and 7, the word is increasing. In Acts 6 and 7, it's increasing so much that even the priests, who thought they didn't even need God, found out they did. Belief, love, and the word must increase. Examiner. So here's the standard. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself? What are we testing? What are we examining? Probably what we've done, what our work has been. Because if we don't have the word of God that promotes our faith, faith without works is dead. If we do not have the word of God that gives us the endurance and the hope to carry on, what do we have? Nothing. If we do not live by God's example to do the work out of love, what do we have? Nothing. We need to examine ourselves by the word of God. So how's your faith hope? How's your faith hope? Because the love part, God's already figured out. He's already taken care of that love part. All you got to do is believe it. Do you believe that God loves you? You better watch what you say at this point. Because if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So now it's up to you. How's your faith in the now versus your hope of the future? Because the love is there. It's always been there. The love is eternal. So this is the time of the lesson that usually reach out to two classes of people, the Christians and the unbelievers. If you are a Christian, you should be studying the Word of God to increase everything that we've been talking about. Because if you think you're full, it's not enough. It's not full. Christ said to his own apostles, "A new commandment I give you, to love one another." Even the apostles didn't realize how much more love they could have. Non-Christians, your beginning starts with your understanding of what you're hearing. Ethiopian eunuch, you know what you read? No, I don't. once he understood, that's what you're going to do with that information next. Because until you become a Christian, true love, true faith, and true hope are not yours yet. It's just something you don't have yet. But it's something that is freely and openly offered. So if you have those desires tonight, if you're a Christian and you need to increase your faith, increase your love, increase your happiness, increase your desire, open your Bible and read and allow God to talk to you. When's the last time you had a conversation with God? I encourage you, please, as we come together and sing.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Friend, and I know that Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, all for grace to trust Him more.
Please be seated. If you didn't have the opportunity to partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, we ask that you come forward if able, and someone will be serving you. If you cannot come forward, then just please raise your hand where you're at, and we will serve you at your seat. Let me read a couple of scriptures before we serve the supper, just to get our minds in the proper frame for our brethren who are wanting to partake. From the Gospel of John, as Jesus is about to be crucified, and Jesus is before Pilate, it says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him.' When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.' But they cried out, 'Away with him, away with him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priests answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.' Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away." Let's keep that thought in mind at this time. Heavenly Father, we're sorrowful that Jesus had to die such a cruel, cruel death at the hands of the ones you created. But we are so glad and thankful that because he lived a sinful life and the spirit of him was he who was by your side, who was willing to come and live as a man and give his life as a sacrifice, we give you great thanks, Father, as our minds think upon the terrible death that our Savior suffered. We ask that you be with these brethren as they partake and remember the body that was given for them. In Jesus we pray, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think upon Jesus being upon the cross, having the crown of thorns on his head, blood dripping from his head, having been scourged, blood dripping from his back, all the places that they beat him, that they shoved a spear into his side, the great injury that he bore for us, we give you thanks for that blood which gives us reconciliation and salvation. We thank you for this fruit of the vine that reminds us of his blood. In Jesus we pray, amen.
to leave the basket up here for anyone who would like to contribute to the work of the congregation, the work of the church. Enjoy the singing with your brethren tonight. Enjoyed it very much. Hope you all did as well. Again, to Mike out there in internet land, streaming land, thank you very much, Mike, for putting that together for us. We appreciate that. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to James for any additional notes we need to make before we're dismissed.
As I thought about it again, I failed to mention, this is twice I've done this to Gil. We're so used to Gil being here and taking care of things, and it's a little bit different when he's not. And we want to be mindful that, as Gil mentioned this morning, he was having some issues with vertigo. And I've only experienced that once in my life, and I never want to experience that again. It is not a pleasant place to be. So we are mindful, Gil, that you're not with us tonight. Hopefully you are feeling better. And, of course, Mike, our prayers are with you also. Again, traveling, we have Irene headed to Orange County here shortly. Eric is still up in Wallala. Jason, thank you for coming from Kerman, because I know that's a bit of a drive. And for everybody who has decided to come out and spend time with us tonight and worship God, we appreciate you being here. We especially appreciate all the men who were able to participate. Again, we want to remember the classes that we have, and Aaron brought up the idea of how you increase your faith. And one of the ways you increase your faith is being involved in the studies that we're doing. And we do have a lot. We have the intertestamental class on Tuesday night at 6. We're still studying the Herodian period. So Wednesday night, of course, we have Gil's class on Struggles of the Modern Christian. Mike will be resuming his class on the Holy Spirit at 10 a.m. this coming Thursday. It's been a really good class. It's a hard class, as you can imagine. If you think you have all the understandings of the Holy Spirit, guess again, because there's a lot there, and it's a lot of hard things to think about. So I encourage you to be there if you can. Thursday night for the men, we have the Man in the Mirror class with Eric. And Friday morning, we have Micah at 10 a.m. And Saturday, we're doing Haggai. We actually got through 6 verses in one day, so I was really excited to see that. So this coming Saturday, we have our men's Bible class. It's the monthly class. It is at 7 o'clock on Zoom. And I do encourage the men to be a part of this. We hear every month that the women have 16 to 20 that participate. We have 4. So we have got to do better, men. I know you're out there. I know you can hear me. We have got to be there. It's not real hard. You click a link in your email and it pops up. So if you need any information, please contact me or contact Gil. We will be happy to get that to you, but we encourage you to be there. We are studying the Beatitudes. It's a very important study, and Cecil has put a lot of time and effort into this over the years. If you haven't heard him talk about it, you've missed out, because that's been a passion of his ever since I think I've known him. So, all right, so that is it for announcements tonight. Again, remember those that we talked about earlier that are sick, those that are shut in. We also want to be mindful of Glenda and make sure we keep her in our prayers. You have announcements next month. Okay, Stephen has announcements next month, so please contact Stephen if you have anything that you need to pass on. And with that, we will go ahead and go to our Father in prayer, and Trayvon will lead us in that prayer.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for being with us this evening. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together, Lord, to have this devotional, Father. Just ask and pray, Father, Lord, that you be with all those who are ill. I pray, Father, that you would just heal them, Father, Lord, from whatever illness or pain that they have, Father. Be with all those who are traveling, as I pray that you keep them safe and watch over them. Be with us, Father, as we are at home, Father. Protect us all, Father. And be with us, Lord, in this upcoming week, Father. Guide us and lead us and direct our steps, Father. Forgive us at times where we may fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.